peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Brooke Taylor, a little squeaky, froggy version of Brooke Taylor this time around, but here with you, recovering from a bout of sickness and losing my voice, but it's spring break. We've got to do this bonus show for you. I'm going to be joined by an entire studio full of Good Things Radio listeners, and we're going to have a good old time, so you do not want to miss that. We're going to ease some tension, talk about everything from healing to hot flashes, and there I just lost all the guys, but I promise it will be a fantastic, won't want to miss episode, and I'll explain that later on coming up. Also, death by a thousand choices. You maybe have heard that phrase, death by a thousand cuts, which denotes the slow, painful process. But recently I had this experience of having the life kind of sucked out of me because of so many choices. Do you ever just feel overwhelmed by the sheer level of awesome options? In particular, whether you're going to buy a car, whether you're going to buy groceries. And in this case, we had a curveball that really could have possibly and still potentially have uprooted our lives and taken us to a new location. So I want to bring you into that a little bit. Maybe you've had that experience, and I'll talk about how we've been discerning through it, where we are today. So those are just a few things coming up on the show. I've got my Good Shepherd Holy Card next to me, ready to give him my heart and words, if you would join me as we kick off the show in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you lead us to green pastures. Never is it more fresh in our minds than when we begin to see the season of change and the spring and the world come to life all around us. Creation is beginning its song of praise. And so, Lord, we lift up our hearts to you, O Good Shepherd. Guide us by still waters. Restore our soul, that we may see the hidden messages of today and follow you and listen to the voice of our Master. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I always think it's interesting how every Lent just kind of brings new things up to the surface. Every year, every day does. We can have our planner and expect things are going to go as per routine, but it never fails where that phrase, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans, where our life in all different stages and ages can give testimony to that adage, because he knows the best way to reveal things to us during Lent and during every day beyond any plan that we could necessarily plan for. So I think in a way, I feel like that's what's happening with us. It's been kind of a really weird roller coaster that we've been on, seriously considering moving, and that thought, but without really knowing where or when. So longtime listeners will know that about 2 years ago, right now, we were blessed with a house transition. We sold our home, which was exciting and shocking and faster than we anticipated. And we found a new home, somewhat in a rural setting, a little larger space, which is what our hope and prayer was. And it was also a really, really good deal, which was the clincher for us. If there was any doubt, especially having set it to prayer and just wrapped it up in some honest discernment, we knew this was the house. So we did it. And since then, in that last 2 year period, it has been rough. We have run into some plumbing issues, and you know, those hidden things that kind of come up when you buy a house that maybe needed more work than what we were led to believe. It's so hard when you look at a house and do a showing, you can't take a test drive, you can't live in it for a weekend to really know the things that are kind of lurking underneath the surface. It's not to say it's been a disaster, but it has been a challenge. And again, frequent periodic listeners will know, whether it's appliances breaking down or issues with our water, or you name it, pick a floor. There might be something that was just not only in need of repair, but a pretty pricey repair. And when you're on a single income, that's a pretty tough thing. So each step along the way, looking at where we are today, what's to come, and expecting brighter days ahead, it's going to get better. Once we get past this hump, once we turn this corner, it's going to get better. And it's just been really difficult to the point that we've seriously considered maybe we should sell our house, because we know that since we've moved in and the fact that we got such a great deal, we could make a good, God willing, good profit on our house. But of course, it's not that easy when you've got roots and kids and especially a big family involved in multiple things and times of transition. But then it got really crazy, because as we were in this conversation of talking about what should we do, we live in an era where we have so many options, as I was saying in the top of the show. And I also think, too, about the luxury of choices and the blessing that we have living where we do of being very calibrated and cautious in what we do. And so I just feel like there's a lot of elements where I try not to get distracted in the what ifs and just focus on where God has us today. But because of some of the challenges and wanting my husband to live a long, healthy life, and, you know, for those of us who maybe it's our dads or our spouses have seen men work their fingers to the bone, you worry. And my husband has become an Uber driver, which is a reality show and a podcast in and of itself from the stories he tells, but also working on maintenance in the church, in addition to his really great, fantastic full-time job. So we found out recently that basically he was given an opportunity that if we wanted to move, that he would still be able to be a remote employee. So that has kind of been a game changer. And if you are a friend on Facebook, you know that I kind of in a very abstract, vague way threw this question out there. If you could move, would you do it? And if you would, where would you go? And is it about location? What are the factors that really make a difference in where you live? Obviously, for us, the number one would be our family and our church, you know, the support system. And then from there, there could be a lot of other elements. It could be job opportunities or university or medical care. Or in our case, we have an IEP. We have a daughter with special needs. So services are a big important part of that. But even if we were to sell our house and downsize, it's kind of maybe our moonshot. Because my husband is from the South. All of his family is in Georgia and Florida. Since we've been married for the last 17 years, we've always lived away from his side of the family. I've always been close to my side of the family. And so initially, after he got out of the Army, we moved where I had a job then, which was Wisconsin. And then we moved to Ohio, which is where we've been. And by the grace of God, been able to build just a really lovely community and church and support system and friends and school. So this is kind of all of the factors that are going into this big pot. In addition to that, my husband, being in the 82nd Airborne and a really big guy, not really made to jump out of perfectly good airplanes and land really hard, has had significant injuries to his body. And living up in the north, I'm going to be honest, it's really tough for him. So the climate, the year after year, month after month, high pressure, low pressure change, it does a number on his body. And he can feel it. And he feels, you know, he tells me, and I know, you know, when he's having a bad neck day, and he's the type of guy that doesn't complain, but day in, day out lives with such tremendous pain. And so obviously there's a lot of appealing things when you think about maybe we should just take our talent south a little bit and maybe we should go to North Carolina or South Carolina. But then on the other hand, that terrifying thought of beginning again and not knowing anyone and starting at a place where you do not know what the Lord has in store. And why would you do that? Why would you do that unless you had a really, really good reason? I would just love to know your thoughts. And I also wanted to share, because I thought it was so insightful, some of the really great feedback that was shared with me on Facebook. A couple people, Amy Lively, she's a friend of mine. She has a wonderful hospitality ministry, Christian ministry. And this is what she writes. She said, "I'm sitting in the Florida sunshine this very minute. As a lifelong Ohio girl, I was heartbroken to move away from our families from 1999 to 2001 for work, but it worked. I grew more in that 2-year period than in the prior 10 years. When we had the chance to move back closer to our extended families, we did. It was a blessing to raise our daughter within 2 miles of all her grandparents. In 2015, we made a cross-country move to Colorado for the needs of our immediate family. Living with 300 days of sunshine a year is unbelievable. You don't realize how much the climate affects you until you experience something else. While nothing beats face-to-face time, we still feel very connected and close. When two become one and leave their parents to cleave to one another, you can put the needs of your spouse and children first, and you can always move back." I know it's true, but but I think the older I get, the more fearful I get of these things, which in some ways I think is okay because I think it means that God is teaching me to be content where I am today and to just rest where he has me today, unless he has a good reason to say, I'm going to take you by the hair and plant you somewhere else. And Dweja Barobia, you might know her. She's also a blogger and her site is houseunseen.com. Just an amazing Catholic woman of God, a beautiful testimony in her life. This is what she shares. She said, this is a big question. Why is there an opportunity? Is it something my spouse feels strongly is best for our family? When I do the God first, husband second, kids third, everything else later test, does the move pass? No matter where you live, weather is going to be a hassle at some point, so I would definitely not pull up roots just for warmer weather. But if there was an incredible job offer and it was obvious that God was paving the way for us, I would agree to go. Oh, man. Okay, so across the board, I would have... Well, I wouldn't say across the board. It was really mixed. Some people would say there's nothing that would take me from where I live right now. My family's here and I will not go. And my mom, I would say, is at that stage of her life because that's a big factor. My mom is... She's here all the time, lives a mile away. She's a widow now. My responsibility as sole and only daughter, I feel, is to care for her as she gets older. But mom has made it clear that she will not move. Yet my husband's family, his parents, are also getting older. Their health has been a little bit iffy lately, and there isn't anyone directly right there to take care of them either. So this is the dilemma, right? And I think, as Amy pointed out, the first priority now remains to spouse, husband, wife, and our family. But still, I am a firm believer. The ethnic family, which we would consider ethnic families, that generations are under the roof because they don't want anyone else taking care of their parents, their family that needs help. So it is, I think, when you have several states involved and different personalities and challenges, it's always going to be one of those things that we are called to contemplate and listen. When is God calling us out of the place where we have been somewhere new to receive as an inheritance? That's the question. So that's kind of what we are contemplating. So suffice it to say, right now, we've decided to stay the course and reassess as time goes on, day by day, month by month. But that's tough too, because we really only have this window of opportunity, I feel like, in the summer when schools are naturally off and you have a natural time of transition. So the funny thing is, and this is why in the show open, I talked about deaths by a thousand choices, is you've got that whole thing, which in this Lenten journey has been very interesting. God speak, tell us, show us, give us the map of where you want us to go. And not hearing a clear answer, and God's provided. He's providing so that nothing else is breaking down in our house and that we're able to pay our bills this month, this week, and by his grace. And the funny thing is, so this last Friday, I went to the store, the hardware store, the La Amis hardware store we visit with my littlest guy, Gus. And what did they have for sale but baby chicks? Well, one of the dreams of my husband and I, which sounds silly, but it's something we've talked about for years, is to get backyard chickens. And we do live now in an area with property that we would be able to do it. And so all of a sudden, we go from looking at houses in North Carolina and South Carolina to, okay, maybe we should just stay and make it work and get chickens, and that would help with the finances, and we could just get eggs and live off the land and have a garden. And all of these choices, and I don't know if it's just me and kind of my ADD personality or if it's really just the exploration of trying. And it's just at the moment why I think it's so important this time of Lent, at least for me, I hope you're feeling that, to just simplify. And in our last show, Sandy Harum joined us, the founder of JP Outdoor Labs. And what she said has stayed with me about the importance of just recognizing the blue sky, smelling the fresh grass and looking at the new blooms on the trees, and really just slowing down and taking things day by day, and to stay focused and rooted in the soil of heaven. But we also want to continue to grow because we are living, breathing beings that need to grow closer, like a sunflower. We need to go closer to the sun or else we're going to go the other way. And that's what I'm trying to do, is go up and not focus on everything else. So I would love to hear your thoughts. Have you moved? Have you thought about moving? Have you gotten chickens? I would love to know that too. You can reach out at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And needless to say, there will be a lot to update you on. We've got some different scattered spring break schedules going on. So it's going to be an interesting season in general. And of course, we are now getting to the home stretch of our Lenten journey, where we are going to be preparing for Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Easter. And then, of course, the Arise Retreat, which I think started here and now going on its second year.
It's Brooks
House.
It's Brooks
House.
Welcome to a tight squeeze here in the basement studio today as we welcome the team from Arise. Welcome, ladies. Listen to that crew. And this was an occasion that we had to take advantage of. We're here together, stuffing goodie bags, celebrating, getting ready for the retreat in just weeks now away, and wanted to do a little theater of the mind, because I know this is going to be a bit tough to hear all sorts of voices with our team that we have gathered. So what I want to do is just picture the voices that you hear, and we're going to have each woman, we're going to go around and introduce yourself. Say your name, your age, and your weight. No, I'm just kidding. No, say your name. If you could go right up to the mic and just say your name and then a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go on to the next beautiful Arise team lady.
Oh, hi, I'm Christina, and I'm a mother of two. My daughter is 7, and my son just turned 4 last Thursday. And I have been married for 5 years, and I'm just so excited for year 2 of Arise.
Yay! And Christina leaves Voxers and Feedback, so very familiar to the show as well.
I'm Marie. I'm the mother of 10, and I've been married for almost 25 years, and I'm looking forward to the second year of Arise, too.
And we're a part of the first one as well.
Yes.
And a homeschool mom, and just, oh my goodness, a lot of juggling balls in the air, and you do it amazingly well. So thank you. And then our next lovely lady.
Hi, I'm Betty Snitzler, and I've been married 35 years. I have 3 adopted children and 1 precious granddaughter who will be 5 next month. And I can't wait for the second year of Arise. I was there last year, and this year I'm so excited to be working on the team. Thank you.
Thanks, Betty. We're excited to have you. And Betty's a good whipcracker, too. Because she's everybody has different gifts and skills, which is what's so exciting about it. We all get along wonderfully well, especially when there's chocolate in the mix. And next is Dr. Ann. Oh, sorry, you got to say.
Hi, I'm Ann, but Brooke calls me Dr. Ann. I'm the mom of 3. Their ages are 9, 4, and 2. And if Betty is the whip cracker, I'm the neck cracker.
Yes, because you're actually doing a session in our retreat that talks a little bit about taming the tension and, I guess, proverbially, spiritually, because you are a physician, just about how we carry a lot of tension in our body. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, but you're going to be sharing your gifts with us as well, right?
Absolutely.
And you've got another little baby on the way.
Three. Yes.
Or is that a secret?
Well, it isn't now, so.
Spill the beans. And our last lovely lady.
Hi, I'm Vicky, and I'm the mother of 3, a daughter and 2 boys. And we are T-minus 72 days to my daughter's wedding. And I am looking forward to the fellowship and friendships that I will see form. And I was also at Arise last year.
Thank you, Vicky. And I think you were voted MVP at the end.
Yeah.
Because that's just what happens when we all get together. It just is amazing the way sometimes you don't expect you're going to have a migraine and be out for the weekend or a meltdown, or it's just you have hit your stride and you are higher than a mountaintop. So that's what's kind of exciting, is we can predict and plan everything, but it's the things we can't plan that we know the Holy Spirit is going to take. So I have a lightning round. I loved when I was on Danielle Bean's show, she has this. It's kind of 5 quick lightning round questions. So I'm trying to think of the easiest way to do this. When you answer and chime in, when you buzz in with your name and give your answer so we can get to know you, okay? So lightning round question. Name one thing that you must always, always have in your purse with you at all times.
Ann. Fruit snacks.
Not a Swiss Army knife or a wallet. It's the fruit snacks, but it's true.
Yes.
That could save lives.
I have them in my car.
Or sanity, yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
Christina, I would say water.
Yes.
I am
in
so
your purse.
Paranoid that I'm not going to have water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have your, oh, you weren't going to say your gun? Okay, Vicky.
Let me clarify for anyone that doesn't know me. I'm a police officer in Cleveland, so I'm not just some gun nut.
Well, you were doing, you were actually doing it with your finger, like the finger gun. So I was thinking they're not going to be able to know that unless you say it. Okay, the critter that scares you the most.
Snake. Betty.
Oh, Betty.
Okay. Snakes.
Okay.
I don't like snakes.
Okay, that's good to know. So no rubber snakes at the retreat house for you jokesters.
Christina, I would say spiders.
Spiders. Okay, you got to get close to the mic. Yeah.
I would say spiders.
Okay. Okay, have you ever been locked out of anywhere?
Betty.
That can be scary.
Betty.
You got to get up to the mic.
My daughter, when she was about 3, locked me out of my house. I went to get the trash can, and she was old enough to close the door, but not old enough to open it back up. She was at the window waving
scary.
To me, and I had to call the fire department to come and get me into my own house.
Yeah, because she didn't have a cell probably then at that. Did you have to go to the neighbors?
Yeah. We did. Yeah. Okay. So I called, and it was, now it's hysterical, and she still laughs about
so
it.
So she remembers.
She does.
Vicky, when I was about 5 years old, we walked to church because it was a nice sunny day, and my parents locked their keys in the house. So they put me through the milk chute, and then I had to climb out of the milk chute and let them in the house.
That's fun when you're that size.
Not anymore.
Marie, this is a story of my husband and I getting locked out of the retreat house where we were staying, Santa Clara Monastery, not just down the road from here. They have this little retreat apartment above, and we had gone out, I think, to dinner, and we came back, and they had locked the doors. So,
and it's a cloister, so it's not like you can just barge in. You gotta.
No,
what did you do?
We tried ringing the doorbell. We finally went home.
You went home?
We came back the next day and pretended like everything was fine.
Well, good thing you weren't too far. Where's some Padre Pio by location when you need it? Another similar, have you ever driven away and forgotten either a person or an item?
Oh.
And right away.
So it's not exactly that, but last week I was driving to work and I had the kids in the car in the back seat, and I almost forgot to go to daycare.
Yeah.
And I've done that maybe twice in my life, and it's scary every single time.
Like the Home Alone, except they're with you.
But invariably, one of them speaks up and I'm on the highway. And then it just adds 10 minutes to my morning.
But you don't know how liberating it is to hear that, because I think for all of us, the things that we forget, or it has been kids for me, or, you know, I forgot to, oh, I need to be there at this time to pick them up. Mm-hmm. I think especially as you get older and with more kids, as I'm making excuses. Okay, now we're going to do a game. We're going to break up into two teams. So we've got the day shift, which is Christina, and she's the one who first introduced herself. She has 2 kids, mom of 2, been married 5 years, Marie, mom of 10. And then we've got the night shift. So it's 2 against 3. And Betty's the grandmother.
Betty's the swing shift.
She's in the middle. And Anne and Vicky. So if you're listening, you can play at home along with us. So you can play along.
Please.
And this is going to be kind of a slogan off. It's slogans. Name that slogan.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it should be easy.
They're old. Are they old?
Some are.
We're good, guys.
Okay. And the winner is going to get some chocolate, which you guys probably brought yourself. Yes, so that's your prize. Here's what we need you to do. In order to buzz in, you need to say day shift or night shift.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So whoever buzzes in first is going to get the point. Okay, so here we go. Name that slogan. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Night shift.
Oh, that was a hot mess. I don't know. You all talked at once. I heard Betty first. Did you say the name of your team, or did you shout the answer? Okay.
I'm disqualified.
You look so disappointed. Do you remember that? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. I'm going to give it to the night shift, reluctantly, though. I feel bad. See, I'm a terrible judge because somebody, I'm not fair. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And then everybody gets upset. Okay, so night shift gets 1 point so far. The second slogan, because you're worth it. Because you're worth it.
Day shift,
yes.
Danielle Bean,
that's a good guess.
Worth it. That's her.
Not it. I should have done that. No. Good guess, though.
Oh.
I don't know if I would have known this if I hadn't seen the answer, though.
Night shift?
Betty.
Dove?
Dove, no. Okay. Good guess. It's L'Oreal.
Oh.
So, sorry.
Yeah. Don't, I don't use it.
Sorry, L'Oreal.
We're not worth it.
You are so worth it.
Okay.
This is harder than I thought. Okay. A diamond is forever.
Night shift. Jared.
Night shift. No, not Jared.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Night shift again.
Night shift.
Can you do that? No, day shift needs a turn.
Wasn't that 007?
Who's playing along? Can we use...
Who's the number one maker of diamonds in the world? In the world.
It's, the Leo diamond. Night
shift. Okay, now we get another
Leo diamond day shift.
Night shift.
Night shift, go ahead.
Zales?
No, it's De Beers.
Oh,
yeah. You never heard of that? Okay.
That's a bummer.
Shoot, these are bummer questions, you guys. I'm sorry.
Write our own questions.
Okay.
Next time.
Yay!
Wait a
minute. I'm so bad.
You don't watch TV.
I know.
Yeah.
We don't.
I would have been better off doing like what's Totus Tuus mean or something like that. I was trying
or
to
Sesame
go.
Sesame Street quotes.
Sesame Street. All right. Let me try one more, and okay. Then if night shift gets it, you guys win. If day shift gets it, you tied up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Built tough.
Day shift.
Ooh. I'm going to say day shift.
Ford.
Yes.
Oh,
you got
I
it.
I knew that one, too.
Okay.
My grandpa worked for Ford.
Okay, so he would be very proud.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. No. Vicky's awful quiet over there. You're just waiting for the right moment?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we are tied. We are down to the wire. Okay, we are down to the last drop. That's the question. Good to the last drop. This is not fair. I need like slow motion.
Replay.
I think I'm going to say night shift.
I think Vicky, you got him.
What do you think?
Maxwell House.
That's correct.
Okay.
You knew it. Oh, man, you guys.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
I feel bad. I somehow.
Good job.
Well, the good news is everyone. You're sweating.
What the heck?
We're just all at that age. We're all having night flashes. Hot flashes. The good news is we all get chocolate, so we all win and pizza. Okay, ladies, before we wrap up, I just wanted one takeaway, something that you might be able to offer that you are most looking forward to at the Arise Retreat, because that's why we're all gathered here. We're here with Good Things Radio, and that's really how we all came together. We came together through the podcast and subsequently this retreat. And so that's why I think it's fitting that we, on the show, be able to come together, because whether we're on the East Coast, West Coast, North, South, Midwest, that we are joined together in joy for the journey as Christian sisters. And we were in just a special way able to get together and see that face to face, flesh to flesh. But what are you looking forward to most this year? And by the way, we are going to have a retreat next year, God willing, as well. So if you're listening and can't make it this year, we hope you'll consider it. But for this one coming up, Christina.
I think last year it was like a honeymoon. I was able to fall in love with Christ. And through the direction of Father Nathan, he just fostered that so much. But when each one of the ladies went up to venerate the cross, because it was during Lent, and I just cried because I'm like, oh, I love her. And then the next lady would come up and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I love her. And I just, I got to know each lady, and I think it's just the sisterhood that was formed, being loved and being able to love.
Yeah.
That's great.
Marie.
I'm looking forward to just a little bit of silence in order to contemplate the you know, beautiful message of, you know, both Father Nathan and all the speakers that are there. And then also just the joy of sisterhood. That's
yes.
Got to be, those two are the tops on my list.
That's wonderful. And as you were saying, silence, Christina's afraid of the silence, but it's good. See, that's why we're all pushed out of our comfort zone, too, which I think is important. Betty.
And I, again, you know, also enjoyed meeting all the people last year and praying together. And, of course, Father Nathan. This year I'm kind of looking forward to, because this is, like Christina says, my love language, I'm looking forward to serving. Because I'm on the team, I want to be there for people. And that's kind of important to me. So I'm going to look at it in a little bit different perspective. So I'm looking forward to that.
And to be served, too. I hope
and
you feel that,
too.
Which is
I
nice. No dishes.
Right.
And,
oh, I
yes.
love the getaway. I love the getaway.
Yeah. Anne.
I'm most looking forward to taking some time and just being in the presence of Christ in adoration and experiencing the love, both just from being in Christ's presence and being in the presence of all these wonderful sisters and making the new friends that are coming along this year. I look forward to just miracles happening this weekend.
I'm looking forward to being in that spiritual bubble for 4 days and just being surrounded by love and friendship. I mean, three of you I didn't even know before last year. And so that's what I'm most looking forward to. And a shout out to Catherine, who will be a baby Catholic at the retreat. She'll be coming into the church a week before our retreat. So I'll be so looking forward to, you know, just talking to her and seeing things from her perspective. And just, like I said, meeting everyone.
Yeah, and I think, too, that we see each other on the streets and we smile and each woman has an entire novel behind her skin and things that she's lived through. And that's what I so much enjoy about these weekends, because you really get to hear and learn. I'm awakened by other people's journey of suffering. And I didn't even know, you know, one of our retreatants, she has MS. We have a new widow that's going to be joining us and is really taking a leap of faith to step out and say, I want to be with you girls. And it's going to be hard for me. But through that, I know there's graces and we learn from each other. And that to me is more rich than any experience that you could really buy or manufacture. So thank you so much, ladies. I thoroughly believe this retreat could not happen, at least with me not having like a giant bald patch, without you, because you came alongside and stepped up and from your own pocket, your own prayer reserve, have been there every step of the way to make this retreat happen. So thank you so much and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of Good Things Radio. If you want Good Things Radio to continue, please consider becoming a GTR Good Friend. I'll post the information on my next newsletter. You can also download the Podbean app or go to the website brooktaylor.us is where you can find me. There's all sorts of goodies on there. You can get the calendar where I'll be speaking next. Also, the podcast. And if you like what you hear, please help us out by visiting iTunes. Kindly leave a positive review. If you would, all you need to do is search Good Things Radio in the podcast directory and leave us a quick note if you would. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is the email. That's how you can reach out. Also, Voxer, Brooke Taylor in the number one is where you can leave a message, your thoughts about the show. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you for listening to episode number 90 of Good Things Radio, and may your Lent be one of healing, new life, renewal, and hope. God bless you.